You remain standing with me this morning as we read our scripture verse from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 15a. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid. He got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. At that place he came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Well, I noticed as I was watching worship online last week that Brant took a moment of personal privilege to speak to his father. So I'm going to continue the tradition and take a moment of personal privilege if you'll allow me. I just want to take a moment to say thank you. I appreciate the support, the prayers, the emails, the visits, the gifts, the cards. Everything you have done to support me and my family over the last 15 days that have changed our lives. I know that this is the beginning of a very long road, and it means a lot to know that you are walking it with me. So I'm glad to be here today to be able to give this message. I appreciate that Eric filled in for me and then Brant filled in for me and Amanda has filled in countless hours behind the scenes to make sure nothing was dropped. But it's still special to be back here with you. You know, I grew up in West Texas. And in West Texas, we are always worried about tornadoes, right? Anybody ever lived in one of those places where tornadoes can pop up at any given moment? Yeah. And I'm getting used to now living where we worry about hurricanes. Some of you know I used to be in the entertainment department on a cruise ship, and so I've dealt with hurricanes in the middle of the ocean, but it's a little different to deal with them here on land. One thing I remember about growing up around tornadoes is that we always had to have a closet ready. You know, one with all interior walls and no windows, and that could be closed off and was small enough to, you know, to have all the stuff, but to still be clustered in there. And we always had this closet ready for the whole family to grab the dog and pack in for the tornado to come. And like we do here, there were these big sirens that went off when we were supposed to take shelter. And just like you do here, what actually happens when the sirens go off? Yeah, everyone goes outside. It's the one time we could see our whole neighborhood was when the tornado siren went off. Everyone was in the front yard looking. But then if the weather guy on the news says just the right thing, then you get worried about it and you all pack into the closet, right? And tornadoes are loud, and things fly around, and things just move to weird places, and it jumps over one house to another, and you never know what they're going to do. But what you're waiting for is the quiet, to know that the peace has come. I've had the same experience now that I'm here. We're at our house in Katy, we had a storm come through, and the eye of the tropical storm came right over our neighborhood, and it was just a wonderful 20 or so minutes of peace and sunshine and quiet before the storms of life went back to raging again. So today, when we look at 1 Kings, I would say 9 times out of 10, when this scripture is preached or studied or read, that we jump to the second half. So we'll do that. We'll start in the second half. We hear of Elijah encountering God at Horeb. We hear of a wind and an earthquake and a fire, and that Elijah knew that God was not in any of those. But instead, God came in the moment of sheer silence. And then told Elijah what to do next. But if we were to be good scripture readers and actually read the beginning as well, we would find a really important part of this story. One that has always spoken to me, and probably never as much as it did this past week. But Elijah is scared. He is scared for his life. Jezebel has everyone out to kill him. And he's running. And so he goes out into the wilderness and he sits under a tree and he just says, "I'm through, God. Let me die." And I love the response that Elijah gets from God. We don't necessarily hear it vocally, but it's obvious what happens here, right? God says, "Why don't you take a nap?" Right? I mean, I can relate. I have a 3-year-old. And sometimes when you've made sure the blood sugar is right and the snacks have been given and everything is okay, but they've been playing really hard, there's nothing that will help but a nap. So Elijah goes to sleep. And an angel comes and wakes him up and says, "You have to eat." And the food is prepared, and God has left it there for Elijah, and Elijah eats and then rests again. And one more time, the angel comes and wakes Elijah up and says, "You have to eat. You have a long journey before you. And if you're going to make it, you need nourishment." And so Elijah eats. And then we get to the part we've already talked about, and God sends Elijah back into the wilderness and to go and to anoint a king. But I want us to concentrate for a bit on this first part. You know, when we were talking around the table, the three of us and Brant, about what we were going to do over these 4 weeks, and we assigned who was going to do what before I messed everything up and made everyone switch. We decided that starting with Pentecost and going into this July transition, we were going to concentrate on the work of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit empowers us. So it may seem odd to read from 1 Kings in a sermon that should be about the Holy Spirit. I will tell you, I think it works. Elijah gets to talk directly to God, as we would probably call him now, God the Father, and he comes and speaks to him one-on-one. But we have the Spirit with us, around us, inside us, and in each other. And so we too can talk to God. We don't have to go to Mount Horeb. Okay? We can hear what God says to us on a daily basis. And I will tell you that sometimes what the Holy Spirit says is, "It's time for a nap and a snack." Sometimes what the Holy Spirit says is, "Slow down. It's time to rest. You're not going to rest forever. You're going to have a long journey ahead of you. There's lots of work to be done. But for now, let's rest." And the Spirit will continue to care for us today the same way that God cared for Elijah all those many years ago, if we will continue to listen. Sometimes it's not what we want to hear. Sometimes we don't want to be told to rest. My 3-year-old never wants to be told to take a nap. But sometimes, as his parents, we know that's what he needs. And sometimes God knows that's what we need in any given moment as well. So I want to encourage us this morning to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, but empowered in a slightly different way. I want us to feel empowered to not always be in control. And that's difficult for some of us. I want us to feel empowered to lean on God. I want us to feel empowered to let God's strong hand lead us and guide us and care for us instead of trying to do everything ourselves. I want us to feel empowered to use the relationship we have through the Holy Spirit and the many relationships the Spirit has given us that might even be just right here in this room. To know that we don't always have to have the answer and we don't always have to have the strength to fix the problem. Because when we don't have the strength, God does. And sometimes, God says, just rest and let me take care of this for a little bit. As a side note, I need you all as witnesses. I promised my wife I would take it easy this morning. I never sit through a hymn, but I want everyone to witness that I did before I got up here to stand and say what I have to say this morning. Because I would say sometimes my wife is right, but the truth is she's pretty much always right when it comes to what I need to do for myself. There's a hymn that I've always kind of loved and turned to. And you may know it. You may just know the chorus. But if you do, I want to invite you to sing along with me because I'm not much of a soloist. But this hymn goes something like this. Be not dismayed, whate'er beside, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. I just hope you'll remember that no matter what the situation and no matter how insurmountable it may seem, God is in control. And when the Spirit says, rest, it's not our time to argue. It's our time to rest. And then when the Spirit says, get up and go, it's not our time to argue. It's time to get up and go. But always and eternally in the Spirit's care. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Stephen, we are grateful you are here with us today. We continue to hold your family. We continue to hold your family in prayer on this journey. We don't always know what that journey will look like, but we know the Spirit carries us and goes with us. So in that spirit, let us go to God in prayer. Loving God, we give thanks for the reminder that you are ever present with us in all seasons. We give thanks for the reminder that you are ever more ready to hear us than we are to speak, to meet our needs even before we know what they are. God, we give thanks that you speak to us in mighty ways. Sometimes a whisper, sometimes a stillness, sometimes through a powerful whisper, and through the actions of those who embody your love. But, oh God, we confess that we do not always understand your ways. And when we are lacking understanding, we can be easily discouraged when life takes unexpected turns and our carefully laid out plans and dreams come to something different. Oh God, we confess that we are quick to give up when things get difficult, or quick to question your presence and your power. Oh God, forgive us. Forgive us in that doubt. Grant us patience to wait for your good timing. Open our eyes to recognize your leading in our lives, to listen for your gentle whisper when we least expect it, and then give us the courage to step out in faith and obedience, or take a holy nap. Oh God, may we trust in your leading, even when we cannot see the outcome. Oh God, we praise you for your faithful love. We give thanks that your love is patient and kind, most especially when we struggle to hear your voice of grace and provision. But, oh Lord, as we reflect on this patience and kind love and your provision, we admit that it can be difficult to see it or experience it at times outside of our holy bubbles, where we're in the midst of chaotic lives and the news feed is loud, most especially when that news feed makes war sound a little closer and a little louder. Oh God, we pray for those who encounter war daily but are often outside of our awareness. We pray this morning for those in Nigeria who have had a terrible week of violence. We pray for the latest developments between Iran and Israel and yesterday's events, when we learned that U.S. military actions against the Iranian nuclear facilities. Oh God, our hearts are burdened by the weight of escalating conflict throughout our world. In this time, I lean into Bishop Sine's words, that in times of global unrest, we anchor ourselves in you, in your unwavering presence, that your Holy Spirit is always with us, that your peace may transcend the earthly turmoil. With hope in you, Christ, the Prince of Peace, we pray for all those that are affected, civilians in conflict zones, wrapping them, oh God, in your comfort, while shielding the vulnerable. We pray for our military personnel and their families. We pray for leaders navigating impossible decisions. Oh God, may leaders be guided toward wisdom, planting seeds of reconciliation where hatred has reigned for way too long. May we embody Christ's peace locally in our daily lives, bridging divides with compassion and purpose, as we trust in God's sovereignty, knowing God alone holds the future. O God, may your peace, which passes all understanding, mend our broken world. O God, of powerful and small voices, speak to us once more, that we might become makers of your peace in our homes, in our communities, and throughout the world. We pray this in the one who taught us to pray most especially when we were lacking words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before.
Thank you for joining us today. My name is Pastor Lance Richards, the senior pastor of First Methodist Houston. I want to personally invite you to join us in person today or every Sunday at 11 o'clock at our downtown campus. There's plenty of free parking, and we're always saving a seat for you. Let's go and be the church together.
Still my soul will sing your